Welcome to hour number two on a Monday with hashtag Daily K's host, Peter Bitt. Tired of just scratching the surface of career? Want to get deep in the weeds?
Me and Pete are here for you, and we're going to unpack everything about Korea through its history, its culture, its people on
Now and Then with David. Wow, I don't think we've ever got this far in the song as well, the background music. I'm loving it. Our producer sometimes puts the mics on a bit earlier, a bit later to keep us on our toes. David, are you on your toes? Have you had a good weekend?
Absolutely. I think the PD is just trying to suggest that the less of me on, the better. But yes, no, great to be here. Good to see you.
Did you have a good 3-day weekend? Did you have your Friday off? It was Children's Day.
Loved it. I did. So I was with the family all weekend, took the kids to the cinema. We took them out to...
What did you watch? Mario?
We watched Mario.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Jack Black does the voice for Cooper, right?
Bowser, get with it. But no, the kids loved it. They were just gawping at the screen the whole time because they're at the age now where they can go to the cinema. Yeah. They're just about getting there. So I had a lovely weekend with the family.
Did you see Jack Black promoting, you know, they've all got these social media videos now targeted to each market, right? To promote their film.
Yep.
So a lot of actors will just do like the 안녕하세요, hello career, you know, I hope you watch Spider-Man or whatever.
Yeah.
He went one step further and he said that Cooper's name was derived from Cooper.
Yeah.
And so loads of Korean fans have gone a bit wild about that, you know, because it's originally, I believe, a Japanese designed video game.
It's Nintendo.
Yeah.
Brand names.
And so it was brilliant. I don't know if he even got permission to do that. Surely the brand themselves might not appreciate that. But I love his beard at the moment that he's sporting. He's gone a bit... looks like off the grid, like proper Viking styly.
You thinking about some facial hair yourself, Pete?
I could only do one of those like weedy saguk beards, you know, that don't look so good, at least in my opinion.
Yeah.
Okie dokie, today's topic is very much linked to the day it is today, Parents' Day. Did you get anything given to you or is there any plans for Parents' Day? For you, because I feel for Koreans, many of parents our age, we don't feel like we're going to get something. We are like taking maybe our parents or the grandparents out for dinner or giving them some pocket money, something like that.
I phoned my father-in-law and said, do you want dinner tonight, father-in-law? Because I'm back in Seoul. So I left my kids this morning at about 6 o'clock. They were sleeping soundly.
Yeah.
Nothing prepared for me, but I did give them nice showers and everything last night.
Aww.
Today I have a weird thing, so I'll take my father-in-law out, but today I'm doing my first PhD defense where I'm on the panel deciding whether somebody else can get their PhD. So I've received my own PhD,
yes.
And I've been through that process, but now I get to sit there and decide whether someone else will go through this shimsa in Korean, this paksa shimsa, so I'm on the panel today.
Is it common to
get changed before I go and do that, don't worry.
Is it common to like... deny someone a PhD?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of people in our PhD group have failed the first time, and it's about raising standards and seeing how people react.
Wow.
So now there's more international... You can't have anything dodgy related to education in Korea anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've seen lots of stories with high-ranking politicians,
yes.
And that if there's anything dodgy goes on with your educational qualifications...
Yeah.
It's so bad for reputations here.
Of course.
And so I think my institution, I'll be doing this at Hanyang University later, they're really trying to make sure that things are strict.
Wow.
And if it's not right, it must go again.
That's brilliant, those strict standards. Good to hear that we're kind of raising those. So today we're looking at one aspect, I guess, of parenting.
One that you and I will know well. Now, let's just be clear. On this program, I've done women's rights. I've done women through history and things like this. I do strike a good gender balancing and raise the voices of those. But today I thought, and it was an idea that came from our new takkanim, shout out, to do a history of fatherhood in Korea.
Oh, wow.
Or how fatherhood plays out in this part of the world. And I thought... That's an interesting idea. We've never done that. So absolutely. Let's get on it.
Absolutely. And fatherhood, yeah, I think it does mean different things in different parts of the world. And maybe, what's a definition of fatherhood? Just parenting from the male parent's point of view?
Well, there's the biological view. And so you become a father when you reproduce and when you procreate mm-hmm. and you create your next genetic little clone. But there's also an emotional, you can be an emotional father mm-hmm. or a psychological father in that sense.
Yeah.
There's also this idea that it's a commitment. Fatherhood is a commitment that you promise that you will be there for certain people. So it's more than just biological.
Yeah.
It's also cultural. It's also emotional as well, I think.
I guess we
should start this, Pete, by asking you, when you became a father, did you notice a profound change in your life from the Monday to the Tuesday? Did you have this big epiphany where the sky opened up and like this, oh, and you were a new person, or is it a bit different?
Yeah.
Give us your...
That's all in the movies, isn't it, right? As soon as your baby is born, you're like, oh, I changed completely, suddenly, instantly. It was amazing that this little human being came out of my wife's womb, but did I have an instant change? No, I went to work like an hour later to do a live radio show, and I was sitting there, and I kind of forgot that I just had a baby. And then I went back to the hospital. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm a father. This little baby's relying on me. But in Korea, it's actually, I think, even more of a soft, slow change, because you stay in the hospital for 2 nights, maybe. The nurses take a lot of care of your baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we went to the Sanujori one, the post-birth center for 2 weeks, where again, they are the majority of the time taking care of your baby and you're feeding it from time to time. So it's a much slower, gradual change. I'm sure it would have been different, maybe, if I had it in England, the baby, and I suddenly went home a few hours later. You know, it'd be like hands-on straight away. So I think in Korea, that actually added to the fact that it was a much more gradual change for me.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's not this movie moment that happens. It doesn't just change you. And I would say the same with weddings and marriage as well.
Yeah.
That these are things that you grow into these.
Mm-hmm.
You don't suddenly... emerge as a father, but you become a father over time, I think, and you grow into the role.
I
would definitely suggest that.
Yeah, there can't be too many people where it's like the movies where suddenly you completely change and reset and whatnot.
Going back to work in the afternoon for live shows.
Straight afterwards.
That's how it happens. Let me give you a couple of quotes about fatherhood. Not necessarily Korean, but we will get to the Korean part. I like this from Steve Martin, amazing comic actor of yesteryear. A father carries pictures where his money used to be. It's good, isn't it?
It does.
It's good.
It's true, because your money does disappear and all you're left with is pictures.
Just one more time, because I like it. A father carries pictures where his money used to be. And I do. I have photos of my kids in my wallet. Not much money. So yeah. I like that. Two more, very quickly. Any man can be a father, but it takes someone special to be a dad.
Ah, the different connotations, right? Even in Korean with like 아버지 and 아빠, father and dad, I feel that as well. You know, I definitely feel a bit of distance if I say to my mother or father, mother, father. That just sounds so odd.
Yeah. We'll get to that language bit. And last one on these quotes. When a father gives to his son, both laugh. When a son gives to his father, both cry.
Oh, I guess that is true. The opposite direction of care kind of thing.
Yes, when your son starts giving you things and has grown up to the... And that relationship starts changing and you see a little bit of independence in your children and things like that. I had a very proud moment. My son Edward was reading a book yesterday in Korean, and I've done a deal with him, which is... Once you can read English books, no problem. I'll buy you a mobile phone.
Oh, wow.
That was the deal. And he was reading a book in Korean, and there was a phrase in parentheses, in brackets, in this Korean book, which was not in my backyard.
Uh-huh.
It was the kind of book he's reading.
Okay.
And he brings it up to me and he goes, Daddy, look at this. This is a Korean book, but there's English here, and that says not in my backyard. And I was like, I'm going to have to buy him a phone soon. He's getting there.
That motivation will certainly help. That's a great idea. All right. I need to threaten my kids. I'll take away your phone if you don't start reading English, because it's too late. I've already given them theirs.
Welcome to Arirang Radio.
If you are in Jeju,
88.7 in Jeju City,
88.1 in Seogwipo City,
101.9 in the Daejeon area.
Arirang.
We're back for part two of Now and Then with David, talking about fatherhood in career. But lots of you are preoccupied by the weekend's events, the coronation for King Charles. Many people just want to know, did you watch it, David? Did you pay attention? Was it a big event in your household?
Yes, we watched it. We had it on the television. It was long, the coronation. It took a long time, but we had it there on the BBC.
Wow.
And it was interesting explaining to my brother-in-law that Westminster Abbey was built in 1066.
Crazy, right?
He looked at me completely unbelieving. Was like, no, like, say it again. And you know, he was doubting my Korean or something. But they really enjoyed it. And it was, you have to watch it. And I just wanted it there for the kids.
Once in a lifetime, isn't it? We really literally have never seen that before.
Never seen that before. And the next time it happens, it might be that our kids are old and married by that time. Who knows? And so, yeah, I had no problem putting it on in the background. So I enjoyed watching it. It was interesting seeing William down on his knees and then kissing his father. And I'm not sure if you caught that bit. But I didn't watch till that part.
That was towards the end, I guess.
It was long. No, that was about in the middle, Pete. It was long.
Yeah, because I did some commentary for one broadcaster and they got the times muddled up as well. They didn't realise it was that long. So they asked me to be on it for like 20, 30 minutes. I ended up doing an hour and a half. And then they cut as soon as he wore the crown. He was like, okay, that's it. We're not watching any more of this. And they're like, I think there was still another 45 minutes to go after that.
No, at least. It was long. But yeah, I enjoyed watching it, listeners. Thank you.
I guess the father of the whole of the UK and the realm and everything, to try and give it a segue into today's topic. Not that we need it.
Smooth. And names change as well. Mm. Like when you become king and your regal name and things like that. And so just very quickly in terms of language, because a lot of our listeners, your listeners, they might watch K-dramas and things like this. Yeah. So three of the words that you might have heard, 아버님. And this will be the very respectful term for father.
Super respectful.
This will sound like father. And this is what you would call other people's parents as well,
yes,
I think.
Respectfully, you know? Yeah.
Definitely respectfully. And then you would have 아버지. This is a little bit more colloquial. Mm-hmm. It's not colloquial, but this is what you'll hear in moments of grief or emotion.
Yeah.
This is what you'll hear people cry out in things like
this. That's true.
You know, when they really mean it, they'll use this word,
yeah.
I think.
Maybe when their father passes away as well, you'll hear that cry, right? Aboji, aboji.
Yep, you'll hear that cry all the time. And then perhaps a little bit more childlike, you'll hear appa.
Mm, appa.
And so you have three levels. But during the break, I asked Pete, you also have kun aboji and jagun aboji. So there's this thing in Korea where you'll have a dad, but you also have a big dad and a little dad.
Yeah, and I remember hearing this from time to time when I visited Korea as a child, but not for any of my relatives, but my cousins would use it for their uncles.
Mm-hmm.
So looking it up online, it is for your father's side, you know, we have different terminology. Father's older brother is your kun aboji, or you can also say kun appa.
That's big daddy. Yeah. Sounds great.
And then your father's younger brother is your jagun appa or jagun aboji, little daddy.
Little daddy. But yeah, so you have multiple daddies in this Korean. If you're doing it that way, you'll have your dad, but then you'll have your big dad and your little dad.
I guess that maybe harks back to when families were more tight-knit, maybe even living in the same house, and you'd all be taking it on one another to raise kids, like a village raises one kid, kind of that kind of thought, I guess.
I wonder if it's dying out a little bit now in terms of individualism and as the country modernizes. But that's probably an interesting thing to look at, because as Korea has changed, as it's gone from this agricultural feudal society based on hierarchy, based on Neo-Confucianism and based on the changing seasons, into this secular modern society, the idea of fatherhood has also changed. Because now, with capitalism, with democracy, people expect different things from the fathers over time. The French philosopher Michel Foucault believed that we lived in epistemes, and each time has its own values and limits of knowledge. Now what is expected of a father in modern Korea would never have even been conceived of 100 years ago, I think.
Absolutely. Maybe not even like 30, 40 years ago, right? It's changed so much in a short space of time. I'd still say we're different, not necessarily good or bad, compared to the West at where we are right now with fatherhood,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And it should be that way. Mm. There should be differences aren't bad. Differences should be... Like, let's just do a little bit of Confucianism. So in Confucianism, the archetypal parental roles are summarized by this, ombu tamo, and this means a strict or stern father and a kind, compassionate mother.
Oh, the stereotypes are just laid out there. This is what it should be.
This is in Confucianism. Wow. And the relationships are all played out like that, like bubu yubyol. Mm-hmm. The man and the woman should be different in and distinct with that byol. And in Confucianism, they're like this, that the father is meant to be strict. They're meant to be a taskmaster.
Wow.
They're meant to sort of push their children. And this was very important in the Confucian world. Genders were segregated and separated, and so they controlled different parts. The man went outside, the woman stayed inside. Mm. And so the woman was meant to be compassionate and the caregiver and dote on the children endlessly, while the man was meant to be strict. And if they kept to their roles, then the child would get everything they needed.
This would get from their father and this from their mother.
Because if both doted, they wouldn't get the strict discipline. But if both disciplined, they wouldn't get the care and affection. So there is some, you know, the gender roles are established in Confucianism and they might not vibe today, but there was a logic behind it at least.
Yeah, and a balance, I suppose. And that must have had an effect into modern times because a lot of fathers would be outside, like physically, till late at night working or drinking and working, you know.
What are you saying about Korean fathers, Pete?
When I was growing up, yeah, in the 80s, that was the role. And when I speak to my friends who, you know, were born around the same time, a lot of them will say, I didn't really have a relationship with my father. You know, he'd be out most of the time. And yeah, when he came back, we wouldn't talk a lot and things like that. And there's lots of people who talk about that. These days, it's very different, yeah.
Not to go on to Paul's segment, but I'm reading the book Pachinko at the moment for the first time. Amazing.
Okay.
I just want a break to read it more and more.
Wow.
But this talks also about the roles of fatherhood, how they're not always present. They're outside and they're doing different things. And so if we take Korea forward a little bit from Confucianism more into the modern world, we get to the 1960s. Uh-huh. This is the time of industrialization. And this meant that rather than being Confucian scholars, it was important for Korea to rebuild the nation that was destroyed by war, that was devastated by a civil tragedy that swept up and down the peninsula and took away most of the buildings. Mm-hmm. The country had to be rebuilt. The country was living under the threat of communist invasion from the north. This meant it wasn't the time where scholars sat around and read books. You went out and you built things and you worked in the factories and people did long hours. We now talk about Monday to Friday and one day work from home and flexi hours and then let's do this one online. No, back then it was like 6-7 days a week, minimum 12 hours a day. And this was required of the men because the women weren't really entering into the workforce in great numbers early on because there were still some elements of segregation. And so it's exactly true what you say, that for that generation, the father was still a remote figure, a figure that provided wasn't providing emotional or spiritual support. It was more material. It was the father brings home the money, and the money was what built the country, and the money was what the family needed. That was his job. And what was important about that is that if the father couldn't do it, he was seen as almost somewhat of a failure.
Sure, it would be like a badge of shame, perhaps.
Yeah, because that was his one job. And if you didn't earn money and if you didn't bring it home, that was what was, you know, beholden onto the men. Nothing else, by the way, during the 1960s. And that might not sound appropriate to you right now, but that's why I brought up that Michel Foucault idea of epistemes, or however you want to perceive it, because people thought differently back then. And they thought differently because their lives were different, their resources, the world they inhabited was different.
Yeah, and I guess, the roles changed. Like, they weren't being scholarly, but the fact that they were outside of the house, that was just a continuity from Confucian times as well. So I wonder how much actually changed within the family dynamic. Probably not too much, right? Maybe Korean men still felt they needed to be strict when they were there, and
yep.
they weren't there that much physically, etc.
And you might have seen some growing control from the women as they handled the money, because that's another part of Korean culture where the woman might manage the funds.
Yes.
And that's not always the way in the West, but no. here that became common quite during the 20th century.
Yeah, yeah. And that thing about, you know, being ashamed if you weren't bringing home the bacon, that kind of lived on into definitely the 90s, where I heard people during the IMF, they would just pretend to go to work, yeah. even if they didn't have a job, because of that overhang, I guess.
During the Asian financial crisis, the mid to late 1990s, in Korea it's called the IMF crisis, the rate, it's a bit of a dark topic, so forgive me, listeners, but the rate of suicide amongst men went up exponentially because they were failing to achieve the one thing that they were meant to do.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And you also heard the stories of men just going and sitting on park benches.
Yeah, in their suits, right?
In their suits. They didn't have a job. They'd been laid off, but they couldn't tell their family. Mm. And that was another thing I think about fathers back then. Fathers were more stoic. By stoic, I mean they weren't meant to reveal their feelings. They were meant to bear the weight upon their shoulders and be emotionally... cold is the wrong word, but stoic, I think, it has it closer.
Yeah, absolutely. That was their role. And breaking the mold, you know, you might think now, oh, that would have been easy. You just have to, like, tell the people what you think. But as you were saying earlier with that theory, the time dictates, like, what you can and can't do, right?
And people simply didn't do it. When we get to the 1990s, we try to show you a picture as things are changing. Love this picture. Yeah. There's more globalization. So Koreans can now travel abroad. They also have more access to international culture, to Western media, to different ways of life. And this meant from the 1990s that fathers were expected to become more involved with their children. It wasn't just about bringing home the money, but as the resources in the country increased, there was like, we don't just want money, now we also want compassion, now we also want attention, we want presence, we want respect. And so around the 1990s, there were two reasons for this, but one was increased money in the country, the other one was globalization. The requirements and responsibilities of men changed, and it's important to note that they got bigger. The requirements of men got bigger. They still had to bring home a lot of the money.
Sure.
But now they also had an emotional part that they had to manage.
Yeah, that must have been tough going through that changing requirement, like psychologically, I'm guessing, for a lot of men as well.
Download the Arirang Radio app on your device for free.
It's Arirang. A-R-I-R-A-N-G Radio.
We are back for part three now and then with David in the studio talking about fatherhood and career. A few messages. Steve saying, I always remember hearing from the TV shows, wait till your father gets home, from the mother in the shows. Yeah, that was very much, I think, an 80s, 90s like sitcom thing, even in the West as well.
And Raoul picks up on that, saying Confucianism and their standards seem very similar to Argentinian and European logic. And there's this one idea from anthropology, Raoul, which I'll give you. I've probably given it to you before, but you have to find the strange in the familiar and find the familiar in the strange.
And yeah, you're right. I guess traditionally, like in the West as well, fathers were more likely to be the maybe more stoic, more quiet, less emotional, and giving their love to their children than mothers.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Sherry says, good to have a connection and good relationship with one's father. I think in psychology terms, we hear that more and more as well, right? It is essential. So I think fathers these days, I'm sure you're the same, like giving love to your kids and support, we really feel that is essential now. We know that.
It's required. It's expected. And so some people adapt to new changes quicker than others. Some people get on smartphones and metaverses and other people are a little bit more reluctant. That's also in the way we change gender roles and expectations in society.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's just talk a little bit about policy, because since 2001, there has been 2001. So we're looking at 22 odd years here. Pete, there has been a gender neutral scheme which allows both mothers and fathers to take parental leave for a year with benefits up to 80% of salary.
That's been around since 2001.
Been around since 2001. But what you want to look at is, we're showing you on the screen here, the lighter pink. I didn't make the chart or choose the colors, please, listeners. My face is pink. Go with that. The lighter pink on the right shows the amount of mothers using the parental leave. Okay. You can see it's increasing. The darker one, the magenta, is the amount of men using that legally allowed parental leave. And it's been there since 2001, but you can see it's only been in the last really 5 to 7 years that it started increasing anywhere. What's most interesting is legally allowed to do it, but social expectations meant that most people didn't.
Yeah, and you know, that also reflects just in general workers having that nunchibuyo, you know, having to be aware of what their boss thinks, just taking regular leave as well, right? Legally, you'd have a set amount, and many people just wouldn't even take that, not for maternity or paternity purposes. Yeah, Lena's got no problems going off. But yeah, I think maybe that also plays into this. Of course, you can see that way more mothers are taking it than fathers, but there is that culture of having to worry about what your boss is thinking.
And it should make you listeners think that, how much does policy matter? Should things come from top down? Is it up to governments to implement laws and policies, or do changes need to come from the bottom up? Do they need to come from people's ideas, and do people need to internalize them? And that last thing, just to say about that data, because I do find it interesting, was that the policy's been there for 22 odd years, but it's only been in the last 4 or 5 that we're seeing any kind of increase.
That's crazy.
So it's really recent. And I think that's why history is so important, to get some perspective.
Absolutely. Yeah, you certainly need the policy in place, I guess, to make it legally okay to do, but you do need that bottom up as well, really driving that change, right?
And what drives that change a lot of the time is media usage and culture. And so you get a lot of this. And around that time, when the numbers started increasing, there was an attempt to put programs on television that would do this. One of them being, of course, The Return of Superman, which the inquiry, 어떤 Superman 돌아왔다?
Superman이 돌아왔다.
돌아왔다. Yeah. And so this was the idea, that they would put celebrities on television.
Fathers, right?
Fathers. And say, right, you look after the kids. Off you go.
Yeah, the mums are nowhere to be seen for the vast majority of these episodes, right?
Yeah.
Which is actually, in many cases, not how it works usually, you know, but they'd like to do that, I think, like you said, to inspire and encourage fathers out there to take a more hands-on role with parenting, maybe.
And excellent. And so rather than policy, it's culture, it's stories, it's empathy, it's other experiences. And now you're also, you've been doing this, Pete. You've been on television as a father with other fathers, trying to tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so it's similar to that program, but the different take is that it's United Fathers, as in fathers from all over the world. So we give another cultural perspective, and we're encouraged to say, well, in the UK, it's like this. This is how it's different to Korea. Again, not judging right or wrong, but just showing there's many different ways that fathers can get involved in their kids' lives. And I think their aim is to show there are so many different ways that you can do it, right? There's not one right way.
Right.
And trying to get fathers more into the parenting debate. We talk about, you know, going to Hug One, the after school institutes and things like this. And I think it's great to just have that conversation and not just have mothers taking care of that whole realm of child rearing.
Has there been much feedback from the Korean public? Like, have you seen any comments online or things like that, how they're reacting to this?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them, maybe it's the opposite of what I've wanted to see, saying, oh, so you went to this really good university, you must have studied hard, etc., etc. How can I get my kid into XY University? And it's often mothers, to be honest, who are reacting to that, which I don't know if that's a shame, but I'd love to see a lot more Korean fathers maybe get on board and say this, that, and the other. But I think sometimes Korean fathers actually say, That's not good for me because my wife keeps comparing me to the fathers on here, taking the kids out for like one night, 2 days.
Yeah.
I can't do that. It's too much, you know. So can have ups and downs, I suppose.
When I did that television thing and I wrote and played a song for my wife's birthday, I saw a few messages saying, you have just destroyed my relationship and things like this. So it does play that. Let's very quickly talk about a famous father.
Okay.
On the screen here, watchers, if you know who this is, this is Son Heung-min's dad, Son Heung-jong,
mm-hmm.
and he's pretty famous these days. If you go online, and he's famous for being a hard, strict taskmaster. And I first
maybe
came,
an old-fashioned Korean
an old-fashioned
father, right?
one. Yeah, this is not this compassion. I saw these reports that were classing Son Heung-min as world class, and I'd go along with that.
Sure, yeah.
His own father said, he's not world class, he's got a lot to learn, and he's being lazy.
He's proper tough, right?
He's tough love. He's been called the tiger father.
Yeah.
But it works.
Yeah. The results, right? There's nothing to argue with. So in that case, I think it's kind of flipping it on its head, saying, you know, the old school fathering, that's not wrong as well. In certain cases, it can bring good results.
Mm.
I don't know, a lot of athletes who have that tough love, I'd say parenting-wise, from that point of view, it might be a little bit on the borderline of not abuse, but just a lack of love sometimes. But if you want those results, sometimes different styles of parenting are needed, I suppose.
Let me just make this one point in that I've pushed some of my students recently over the last 6 months and they respond to it.
Mm.
Some students, they want that push. They want that determination. They want that tough love. They don't just want nice words all the time. They want to be challenged.
Yeah.
And so I think there is a movement towards that.
There needs to be a balance, I think.
There
can't
does.
Be just, I love you, you're doing amazing in everything. Well done for wiping your bottom. Sometimes we need a bit of motivation.
I feel like I should be congratulated on wiping my bottom sometimes. Lots of B-days in Korea, in case you wanted to know that. To fathers, to mothers, to parents out there everywhere. Hope you have a wonderful day.
Have a happy Parents' Day, David. We'll see you next week. You can listen to Monday's segment Now and Then with David Tizard every Monday from 10 a.m. KST on #DailyK.